This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Hello, it's Lee Salisbury here. Welcome to a brand new series, season 6 of Soap from the Box, the TV behind the scenes podcast, where we speak to the biggest stars of EastEnders, Coronation Street, Home and Away, Neighbours, Emmerdale and Hollyoaks. I go beneath the surface of what life is like on set and off set with some of TV's biggest stars. I'm going to shut up and leave you with this week's first brand new spanking episode. Enjoy. My guest today rose to prominence when he played Thomas in Russell T. Davies' critically acclaimed Cucumber. Since then, his small screen takeover has continued, bagging himself 2, maybe more, award nominations, playing Ethan Williams in Hollyoaks, in a story that is set to get bigger and bigger. This quote says enough about what's happened so far. Ethan split from Sienna as she pursued Rafe, who was then murdered on his wedding day by his actual wife, Dilly. Dilly was then revealed to be Sienna's sister, and whilst in hiding with some help from Ethan, has been plagued by visions of a dead dad. Let's get to the bottom of all of this. Ethan himself, Matthew James Bailey, joins me. Hello, mate.
Hello, mate. How you doing? That was a lovely intro as well. What a lovely, lovely little thing there for me.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I mean, the quotes of, I mean, obviously, as we know, Hollyoaks is amazing with its storylines, and that quote kind of says it all. It's been that, I mean, that's basically what's happened, isn't it?
Yeah, do you know what? I just feel like, you know, with Hollyoaks, it's always drama, 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 drama. It never stops. I mean, you're constantly on the edge of your seat here. I mean, even as actors now as well, we're just like, you know, what is next? So, yeah, it's pretty exciting times.
That's the exciting thing in Hollyoaks, I think, when I direct it, because the other soaps move a bit slower. Hollyoaks moves like a lightning pace. And actually, you just never know what's the next, because the blocks go so quickly. You just basically never know what's going to be in your next block, do you?
Well, this is the thing, like, it really is like blink and you'll miss it kind of stuff. So, you know, it's just such a privilege to be part of that, you know?
So let's start with you before we get to Hollyoaks, because it was hard to find out much about you, Matthew, himself. Yeah. So quick fire questions here. Town you grew up?
So I grew up in a little village called North Weald. I was actually born in London, in North London. I grew up in Barnet for a little bit, and then moved to lovely Essex and grew up and spent the rest of my kind of childhood in a little village in Essex called North Weald.
Amazing. It's a beautiful place. There we go. Favorite school subject?
Oh, you know what? I'm going to say, this is hard, actually. I'm going to say art.
I thought you were going to say art. I thought yeah. Was it?
I'm awful at drawing. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. Yeah, but I think that's the subject where I could just talk the most, you know?
Yeah, I loved art because the room was amazing at our school. It was like this massive white room. And the teachers are always really cool in art, I think.
I know they are. And you could just see how much more talented everyone else is than you. It's great.
Yeah, I was terrible. I still have memories of this, like, still life of a bowl of fruit I did, which was just the worst thing you've ever seen. And I think I got, like, an A for it. I think she was just feeling really sorry for me.
Yeah, just that kind of sympathy A, you know?
Like, yeah.
I don't think I ever got an A in art. So you've topped me there.
Well, I think, but it made me feel worse because it was like, I know, you know, it's like kind of, yeah, no. Anyway, favourite school dinner?
Favourite school dinner? That, you know what? It's not a dinner, but that tiny little cake that they had with loads of sprinkles on. You know, the white or pink.
Oh, yeah. did you used to have the ice cream scoop of mashed potato with a lump in the middle? Or were you a bit better than that?
Mine was just pure custard, I think.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure if that combo really works, but you know.
I mean, the potatoes not with the cake. I mean, I'm talking about just another thing at school. Like when we have mashed potato, they basically used to serve it up with an ice cream scoop, but there used to always be, for some reason, a massive lump in the middle. It was like, how is that happening?
Yeah, huge lump or massive crack. You know?
Like, how does that work? First date.
First date, I think, was to the cinema, actually. Yeah, and
obviously.
Yeah, but it was to see Paranormal Activity. And it was a terrible time because I didn't sleep for like at least 4 weeks afterwards. And now I still can't watch horror films.
Oh, really? That's put you off for life.
Yeah, just absolutely traumatic experience.
How old were you on your first date?
I must have been about...
So you snuck in...
Probably like 12?
Well, so you snuck into the cinema to see that then.
I know. Was it a 12? I don't know. I think
surely that can't be a 12. Maybe, yeah, maybe it was then because they didn't really care as much then. When did you know what you wanted to do?
Do you know what? I knew. So my dad was always in like banking and everything else like that. And there was a point, you know, I was at school and I was kind of like, what do I do with my life? I mean, I guess I'll just follow my dad's footsteps. And I remember studying... you know, a lot of business at school and a lot of like government and politics and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I'd always had like a massive interest in films. I used to stay up so late and just watch everything I could. And I remember one night I was like, do you know what? I'll bang on the Oscars. And I remember watching Daniel Day-Lewis win for Lincoln. And I was like, do you know what? It kind of called for me. And I was like, that is what I want to do. Dropped out of sixth form, went to college, studied acting, just worked, you know, my ass off for it, and then kind of got into it straight out of college.
You managed to do it. And what did your parents think of that then? Were they wanting you to be the next banker of the family, or were they quite happy?
Do you know what? I'm so lucky with the family I have. Like, they're the most supportive human beings of all time. Like, every award show, they're always there in the audience screaming their heads off. And they're the most supportive people. And my dad, being the super American man he is, like, you know what, man, you got to go out and you got to get whatever you want, and it's going to be great.
Amazing. So,
yeah.
And when was your first professional audition?
My first ever professional audition was, I was still in college, managed to get myself an agent, and my first ever audition was actually for Cucumber.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Yeah. So you got your first job. You got your job from your first audition.
Yeah, and I remember thinking to myself, like, oh my God, this is super easy. And then
career.
The reality kicked in quite quick. And I remember, to be fair, that audition was hilarious because I remember going in and the casting director was like, I'm just going to need you to lip sync now to Katy Perry. And I was like, oh, wow. Auditions go? Yeah.
Why did you have to lip sync to Katy Perry? I have to say, I have to admit, I've seen Banana and I haven't seen Cucumber. I must watch it. Was there lip syncing involved, or was that just, you know, like, to see how you...
Just for fun.
Just for fun. I suppose that was fear, like, tactic of the director. Yeah.
No, it was just, so there was actually a lip syncing scene. I think we lip synced to Katy Perry.
Oh, right. Okay, there we go then.
I Kissed a Girl. And so it did make sense. I wasn't just being humiliated for no reason. But... Yeah, that was why. So there's a little lip sync scene in it, and that was part of the audition. And, you know, all those years of lip syncing the mirror clearly paid off.
Yeah, because lip syncing is harder than it seems, actually. Let's talk about Cucumber. What I didn't realise, and this is a little bit rude, but obviously we know it's rude. Did you know where the name comes from?
Yeah, I do.
And for anyone listening, Cucumber, Banana and Tofu are the series, and they're all based on the study into the male erection and the hardness scale. Brilliant. And that's when Russell T. Davis said that's when he knew he had his show. I mean, I love that.
Absolutely. I mean, he is a genius, to be fair to him. Like, everything
he's
that man
incredible.
It just turns to gold. He's just fantastic. I mean, we're still in touch now. He's great. And obviously, you know, he gave me my debut and everything. And I owe quite a lot to that man. So, yeah, it was a fantastic, fantastic experience. Like,
had you watched any of his work before you did it? I mean, you obviously knew who he was.
Yeah, so I knew. So obviously, like, I was watching a lot of Doctor Who when I was growing up, and then I wasn't really familiar with, you know, kind of that side of his work. And then obviously, before I got the role, like, had a quick look at like Queer as Folk and things like that.
Which is incredible. That's what an amazing. So you can't actually believe that series was on when it was. Do you know what I mean? It was so groundbreaking, that show.
Exactly, and that's what I mean. But he has this knack of just doing, you know, groundbreaking stuff every single time he does it. And then he obviously followed it up with It's a Sin, which was also phenomenal. And yeah, it's just, you know, he's an unbelievable guy to work with and just learn from, to be honest.
And so what a first job. I take it it was a bit racy, Cucumber. Did you have a, did you have some racy scenes? Racy, I sound like an old-age pensioner.
Yeah, no, I did. I remember there was a scene in it where, you know, that game of Nervous. Do you ever play that game?
Wait, is that the one where you where it shakes into the way if you're holding the thing and you shake?
No, so no. Again, a bit more racy than that.
Oh,
so
right. Okay, no, what's Nervous?
No, I think it's where someone would put their hand on your thigh and then they slowly move up and up and up and up and up. And
right.
Nervous, you would say Nervous, and that was the scene in the show. So that was pretty racy. That's
I've never heard of that guy. Oh my God, right, that's this weekend. Everyone around the country is going to be, sorry, my dog's even excited about this. Everyone's going to be playing Nervous. Go on, sorry, go on.
But no, yeah, that was pretty much the scene. I remember having to, you know, me as like a, 18, having to stand there in my boxers completely, you know, just in my boxers, completely vulnerable on national TV playing a game of Nervous. But, you know,
that's quite a phenomenal job because, again, obviously we talk about these things on it. Like people out there listening, obviously there's like, it's not like there's just a few of you there. It's like a crew of 60 on set.
Oh, yeah.
It's an intimidating when you have to do things like that, isn't it?
It is, blinding lights in your face, and you're like, how's this going to look? My nan's going to watch this.
I know. Did they watch it? What did your family think?
They did. I remember sitting there watching it.
You didn't sit? Did you sit there watching it with them?
Yeah, I did. I remember going,
oh, my God.
Oh, no. And I was like, someone did offer to actually buy those boxers, Mum. But, you know.
Yeah, my mum would be going, why did you wear those boxers?
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, I didn't have a choice, but, you know, there they were. Really
amazing. Really, well, that was Cucumber. And then, so what happened after? Did you kind of, because it was your first audition and you got it, did you kind of have that feeling of like, right, this is it, Hollywood, here I come? And did you kind of then start to audition and didn't get stuff, or what was the gap between Cucumber and Hollyoaks? What happened in between?
Yeah, so it's exactly that. You know, you kind of get lured into this false sense of confidence, especially industry. Yeah, where you're like, do you know what? This is it. Like, I've made it. And, you know, I went on a nice string of jobs after that. There was a few pieces here and there. And then obviously you get called in for like big auditions. You're in big rooms. And you're like, wow, this is where I need to be. And then obviously you don't hear back from those jobs. And then all of a sudden you start to feel that kind of sense of rejection. You're like, oh, this is the real world here. This is where things get hard. And I was lucky, again, did a nice couple of jobs, like little jobs here and there. And then I decided to travel for a little bit. I decided, you know what, I'm going to take a little break out from this, and, you know, just go and find myself. You
know? Yeah,
see the whole cliche thing. And I went off to Australia.
Amazing.
Yeah, for 2 years. Then did New Zealand for a year after that.
Oh my God! Wow, amazing.
Yeah. Managed to get a couple jobs out there as well, which is really nice. And then I came back, obviously, just in the midst of COVID.
Great. What did you do over there, by the way? What did you do? What jobs did you do over there?
I was just traveling around. I mean,
you didn't do Neighbours.
You know, I did do Neighbours, no. And then just traveling around a lot. And then, but actually, prior to that, I did have an experience on Hollyoaks where I played a character called Jake.
Yes. Yeah.
And then that's just before I went traveling, actually. And so I was always in touch with Peter Hunt, the casting director. And then, went traveling, came back in the midst of COVID. Obviously, you know, just went back into a trade, which my trade had always been like landscaping.
Oh,
did
okay.
That for a little bit. And then Hollyoaks came knocking. And then did a, you know, I thought, you know what, now's the time probably to get back into this. And, you know, I'm in a headspace now where, you know, I want to do this again and I want to make a real go of it this time. And,
well, that's,
you know,
interesting,
I was a bit older.
So you kind of almost, because it does, like all the actors on here, obviously. I was saying to Harry Reid on his podcast that it's that thing of like no one normally gets back to you. So you're just left with like no confidence in the end. I mean, because you're not told what you're doing wrong or what you're doing right. And so you're kind of just in limbo the whole time, aren't you, really?
Exactly. You're kind of in this no man's land where you're like, look, I have this dream on one hand, but then obviously reality is there in your face. And you do have to, you know, you have to make a living. Everyone does. And it's, you know, it's difficult when you have that kind of desire and passion for something else, and that's always in the back of your head just niggling away. And, you know, and then I was just, like I said, just fortunate enough to get back into the right headspace and be like, you know what, I've taken some time out now, and I, you know, I really want to do make a go of this. And, you know, the opportunity arose with Hollyoaks again to join this new family and you know, hit the ground running and just went from there, really.
And here we are. And before we move on to Hollyoaks, is there anyone When you were auditioning, is there anyone that's like, because my favourite story is Glynis Barber, who's been on, who, like, there was the woman from the coffee adverts, I can't remember her name, Sharon something, was always at every audition, would always get the job, and Glynis would like, arrive in the room and be like, oh, there she is. Was there anyone like that at yours?
Nobody of note, to be honest. I remember, you know, you kind of just, you've got this camaraderie of these people that you see in these rooms, and you're like, you're all there for the same thing. I mean, yes, it's a direct competition, but...
Because I suppose if they're looking for a particular type as well, it's like a room full of people that kind of are quite similar to you.
Yeah, I mean, but this is the thing. When I went in for Ethan, I was so sure I wasn't getting it. I was like, you know what, this isn't, I don't think this is my kind of role. You know, it was originally kind of pitched, and I remember taking the character and direction in the audition. The scenes I was given were like this very nice guy, kind of looking out for his sister type thing. These were the scenes I've read. But I remember thinking, do you know what? I'll take this in a bit more of a toxic kind of route, you know, just to give the character a bit more of an edge here and, you know, give him a bit more well-roundedness and, you know, what's he about? And I remember walking into that audition, it was Lucy at the time, Lucy Allen. And I remember doing the bit and afterwards, you know, thanks so much for coming in. I remember as I was walking out the door, Lucy went to me, oh god, he's horrible, isn't he, this guy? And I was like, I kind of got that from him, and that was the kind of last I heard from her. I then got the role a couple days or about a week later.
Well, that's great you said that, because I always say that to actors, like, really think about, because there's so many different ways of playing a script, you know what I mean? And I always say, one of my tips for auditioning is like, try to think outside the box, because most people are going to go with how they think it should be. Do you know what I mean? And actually, I know from soap, often the actors that come in for audition, because, you know, like the writers will come up with a new character, you've got so-and-so joining, but often there's not that much. Sometimes there's huge amounts of thought go into the characters, and then sometimes it's like you're almost waiting for the actor to bring something to himself, and you can really shape it yourself. So that's great. That's how you did it as well.
Yeah, and I think that's what Hollyoaks do best, really, you know, especially given Ethan, who he first came in as, you know, he was this, you know, kidnapper, kind of troubled criminal kind of, you know, person. And the kind of 180 the character's done now to where he is now is, he's completely different to when he first came in. And I think Hollyoaks, like I said, do that really great of giving the kind of actor freedom with that to how they can, and I guess soaps in general is where you can kind of take that character. It's great.
Yeah, well, you have to as well in soap, don't you? Because otherwise you don't want the same kind of person being the same the whole time. But so you first joined, you said like you played Jake, who stole some laptops from the McQueens, I read here. So was that a couple of episodes you came in first to play Jake?
It was just the one, actually. It was just I remember
it can be more nerve-wracking, can't it, sometimes for actors, just playing one episode.
Because you're coming in, I was with James Sutton in those scenes.
Oh, James, yeah.
You know, and it's nerve-wracking. These guys have been there for so many years. They're established characters. They love characters. And you go in kind of face-to-face with that. And you do just have to bring it. And especially where it's only a couple scenes, you've got to bring your A-game there. And you're coming into this world where, you know, soap actors, I don't think, get enough credit from what I've seen.
No, not at all. That's, you know, this podcast, yeah.
You know, they're learning these lines every single day, and the turnaround is absolutely it's manic. And you know, you come in and you do these things, you go, oh, I don't know, and these guys just do it like
day in,
like
day
drinking
out.
Water. It's so easy, and it comes so naturally to them, you know. And then
saying that, like I've worked with some big actors that have come into soaps, you know, who've only done single camera dramas and stuff, and like they're like, oh, I never realized. So it is like the credit to soap actors is incredible, because no one works as fast, and because if you're in a massive storyline for a couple of blocks, that means you're kind of, I mean, on Hollyoaks, when I was there, I think it was 4 units filming at once. How many units film at once still now?
Yeah, it's exactly the same. I think it's 4 or 5 now, actually.
Yeah, wow. I mean,
it's incredible. You know,
I always remember there'd be, you know, like you'd be one side of the boat and there'd be another crew the other side of the boat and someone else inside. Like James Sutton is needed in your block and the other block. And it's like, oh my God. It's like, it's amazing that it happened. I mean, what a team to make it work. But it's the most full on. So then obviously, so you played Jake, you came in for an episode. Then I don't know if this is true, that you auditioned for another part completely then, Sam, which was Ethan's police officer nephew.
Yes, so it's true. So the lines I always got were all for Sam. It was all Sam.
Right, okay.
It was this very nice guy, you know, and I was like, he's got to have a bit of an edge to him.
Right, so that's who you were, right, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and then I remember the day before, I think a couple of days before we did the kind of like chemistry test and things like that, my agent rang me and, you know, she goes, listen, they're kind of considering you for the role of the uncle. Right. And I was like, uncle. And I was like, right. Okay.
Yeah, you're like, okay. What? Do I look really old?
Exactly. I was like, am I personally attacked right now? But yeah. And then they were like, yeah, this, you know, this guy's got a bit more of a darker side about him, a bit more of an edge. And I thought, well, that does seem a bit more up my street. So, you know, I'll go in and I'll give it a go, and went in red, did a nice little screen test. And then, yeah, read for the uncle, and then got it based off of that. And I remember reading the script, and it was a lot more dark. This guy was a bit more edgy, a bit more, you know, of a kind of streetwise kind of hustler type guy. And yeah, that's what happened. And that's the evolution. And I kind of went from Sam to Ethan.
Yeah, amazing. And well, it sounds like a much meatier and a better part. And then obviously, well, let's talk about love interest. Do you know, I mean, I think I've got them all here. Let's start with... In order of love interest, who was first?
So I think the first love interest was Maya.
Who you killed.
I did.
Accidentally, wasn't it?
I think, yeah, it was purely accidental. And also, I mean, listen, she was trying to kill my niece at the time.
Yeah.
I was trying to, this is where you kind of see Ethan do this kind of U-turn and go, do you know what? My family is the most important thing to me in the world. And, you know, you have to see that side of the character pretty early.
Will actually kill anyone that gets in the way.
Exactly, 100%. And, you know, he's accidentally shot his girlfriend at the time in the stomach, but to save his
life. At Christmas. Poor family. Oh, no. Poor family.
What a terrible, terrible event. You know, Maya's family is still lurking around. So, you know, you could potentially see something like that come up in the future, because obviously she came from a very big criminal family.
Yeah. Well, anyway, she's dead. Who was next?
I think I want to say it was Leela next.
Yeah,
lovely Kirsty Lee Porter.
Leela or Layla? Leela.
Yeah.
Leela next. Lovely, yeah, amazing,
lovely Leela. And I just think things kind of never worked out, because Ethan's, you know, plan kind of unraveled itself in front of her, and she realized that he was actually a murderer, and this probably is quite a big red flag.
Yeah. It's not like, it's worse than kind of not making the bed in the morning. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. It's not that he like leaves his washing out. It's that he's killed
his last girlfriend at Christmas. Yeah. And then after Leela, it was obviously...
Yes, the lovely Anna Patsy with Sienna.
Sienna, who is incredible. One of my favourite actors. I think she was quite new when I joined, and I was blown away by her. And again, it must be amazing to work, go in, like, because often you come in, I mean, I know you're part of a family and stuff, but to suddenly have such big stuff with a really established character must be great. A, because you know you're going to be used loads, probably. And yeah. B, just because, well, you're working with someone that's, you know, one of the forefront people of the show.
Yeah, and do you know what it was? And, you know, they kind of struck gold with Ethan and Sienna as well, because not only, like I said, do I get to work with someone who's so well-established and just incredibly, incredibly talented in everything she does, it's great walking into a scene with her, because we can just bounce ideas off each other. We'll say, like, you know, is this going to work? Is that not going to work? And you come up with these beautiful scenes. And, you know, obviously Ethan and Sienna turned into a real fan favourite in Hollyoaks, which is absolutely great. I mean, I know fans are still messaging me now, being like, you know, when are they going to get back together? When are they going to get back together?
Yeah, yeah. It's like what everyone wants, isn't it? Which is, it's great when you get that kind of attention, I suppose. And well, because it's hard to, well, it's not hard, but there's, you know, relationships on screen sometimes don't work. But when they do work, it's amazing, isn't it?
Oh, it's just pure fireworks. And this is what me and Anna have said, you know, we're so lucky to work together. Like, we've become, you know, best friends in the process of this. You know, we're hanging out all the time and doing everything else. And it's so rare, I think, that you find two actors, you know, studio search miles and miles and far and wide to find two actors with such phenomenal chemistry on screen. And you can see that it really shines on screen when there's a real natural chemistry between the two of them. And it's a lovely thing. And then getting to go to work and work with your best mate and just create magic is, you know, it's the biggest privilege you can possibly have.
It's so, because can you imagine working with a leading lady or a leading man? and just hating them. And which there's a massive story. You know, there's so many stories of people I know who worked on big shows with big couples who act. Oh, it must be. It just, oh, I can't imagine why you want to go to work like that. It must be awful, mustn't it?
Exactly. It must be like a really.
Them and,
oh, it just must be so terrible. It must be.
I know. It must. It makes my bum clench. Do you know what I mean? It must be awful. I mean, I've worked on sets. I worked on sets where, and I won't say which sets and which shows, but where, you know, actors have literally despised each other and they're in scenes together. And it's like the atmosphere in a line run is just horrendous. Oh, and you feel like a weird teacher. Do you know what I mean? Because you're like, you feel like a fight could break out at any second.
I know. It's just the tension is horrible. And like, I suppose for you as well, you're going to have to just, you're going to have to kind of be the referee in that, you know?
Yeah, no. Because... Yeah. It's, I said, I did a scene once. I've told this a million times, so I'll say it really quickly, but where there are two actors and they weren't speaking because of how they were, they didn't agree how each other were acting it. So they were basically going, Lee, will you ask him if he's going to say it like this?
No.
And then she would go, okay, you know, I will tell him, I will say it like this. And I was like, is this actually happening?
It's just playground stuff, isn't it?
It's
just,
it's mad. I suppose we do work at a big playground, really, in TV. But then, obviously, Sienna, then there's Dilly, who has been, revealed as Sienna's sister, obviously.
obviously. So,
and, I mean, you know, because this is a podcast, obviously people might be listening to this in 2040, so it, but what it's, we won't talk about where it goes, but it's set to get bigger and bigger, all of this stuff.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, this is what, you know,
because you've had new bosses come in, haven't you, and they've kind of done a U-turn on quite a few things, so things have gone in a different direction you were probably expecting.
Yeah, so but the original storyline there was, you know, that wasn't even an option, Dilly being Sienna's sister, and then obviously Hannah and Angela have come in and absolutely turned it on its head, which is what it should be. Audiences shouldn't be expecting anything. There should be massive twists. And in true Hollyoaks fashion, they came in and went, look, this is what we're going to do with it. The original storyline was, you know, obviously Sienna would then run off and get the mansion and she would kind of go down like a kind of a darker path. And it was up to Ethan to kind of save her. And, you know, Dilly was just kind of a footnote in that storyline and, you know, everything blew up. However, then Hannah and Angelo came in and they went, they sat us all down and they told us the new storyline. They're like, look, we're thinking about Rafe and Dilly are actually husband and wife. And, you know, it turns out Dilly in the end is Sienna's sister. And I remember just being like, my jaw being on the floor and being like, wow, oh my God, this is exactly what this storyline is needed. And what it's the show
so, that's
needed.
So exciting, isn't it, when you're told that as well? You must be like, oh my God, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's just phenomenal. And you just get so excited. And, you know, because it changes the whole dynamic of the acting, you know. It completely changes how you then go about a scene and everything like that. And it becomes really fresh and really, really new and just really exciting again. And it's great. And they've done it so well. So, yeah, I don't think audiences are expecting it at all.
I think that's the weird thing with soap, isn't it? Because as an actor, normally, outside of soap, you'd either do a stage show or you'd do a drama where there's a beginning, middle and end. So you basically know... how to map your character. Whereas with a soap, you kind of have got to take it day by day, which I suppose is much more like life because you don't know where the end is.
No, you never know where you're going. It's not as simple in soap as it's, all right, it's point A and then you get into point B and then there's the big arc in the middle. It's point A and then all of a sudden it goes to point G and then point F and then point Z. And you're like, wow, okay. So, and it keeps you on your toes as an actor and it's the most exciting thing to be a part of. And I'm, like I said, just so grateful.
Which is your favourite set to film in Hollyoaks? I mean, it's the maddest. It's the maddest. I was actually there just before Christmas because I was making another show and we were editing there. So I was, and it was, I remember arriving in the car the first day and I'm like, oh, I can't remember if you go in the police station to get to reception or whether you go in the court. It's like such a bad place. Or the school.
It took me at least a year to find my way around the building.
It took me a year to get out the first day because I had a part. I'd forgotten my pass and I got locked in a school corridor.
Yeah, no, awful. Like 1 minute you're walking down a school corridor, and the next minute you're in a courtroom, and you're like, oh, okay, this is how this works. But
yeah.
I think, mine, I don't know if you've seen it. It's a new set. It's Rafe's Mansion, and it is incredible.
No, I haven't seen that. And that's it at the campus, is it? At the studios.
Yeah. So it's all there. So, but it's all based around Arley Hall, where they all shot. We shot there on location a few times now. You know, it's where they film like Peaky Blinders and everything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
and
no,
they,
I know Arley. Amazing.
Yeah, and they've replicated a nice little room of that, and they've put it on the set on the campus, and it's this beautiful, grand place. And you walk in, and you feel like you're on location. And you know, whenever you're on there with like a new director, you kind of expect the same shot because they want to get so many shots of the place. You know, because there's so much to see and do on that set, and it's just. It's great. It's an unbelievable set.
Yeah, I remember the worst thing, the worst thing there is when you, like, everything is a shoot off. Like, because I love in the car park, they've got massive signs saying, if you can see this, you mustn't see this, basically, because everywhere it's kind of not, well, obviously, like normal soap. I mean, I remember going to EastEnders and being shocked. There was no tube because obviously there's a tube running above, but actually there's no tube because it's in the middle of a housing estate in Boreham Wood. I was like, oh, wow.
The magic of television.
The magic of television. And so your arrival, do you remember your first ever line? I think this will be as Ethan.
I do remember my first ever line, and it was, I come into a hotel room where I'm holding Darren hostage, and I think I throw a bag on the bed, and I look at Darren and I show him that I got him some clothes, and I go, all right.
Yes, well done, mate. I mean, you've gone into a lot more description as a mate. I've got all right, Darren, so I didn't have any.
Lovely.
Any. Well done. That's amazing. Most people forget everything. I mean, I suppose it's not a really tricky line to remember. And yeah, as you said, Arrival was taking Darren Osborne hostage. Again, Ashley, one of my favourite people. Oh, amazing. Love that man. Yeah. Sorry when I was there at Christmas. And that must be amazing, again, working with him, you know, as your first scenes.
It's incredible. I've been so lucky with everyone I've worked with in the show because they're just so incredibly talented. And working with Ash is...
Like not saying there isn't people that are like, oh,
no, exactly what I'm saying.
Oh, no, I got them.
No, I mean,
like, just because he's a legend in it, isn't it? I mean, it's weird. Hollyoaks, all the other soaps have your kind of like, you know, your Doc Cottons or your old ones. But Hollyoaks, like Darren is, Ash is like the old one in Hollyoaks.
Yeah. You know, and it's great. And working with him is like, it's just, it's a laugh every day. I mean, you know, Ash have this great, you know, connection that we have, and we know every time. And I think, you know, crews get a bit like, oh God, here they come when we're both on set together, because all of a sudden there'll be so much improv, you know, in the scene. And it's just me and him just kind of going back and forth with each other, just coming up with ways to kind of lighten up the scene and, you know, keep the audience just laughing and happy. And it's just, you know, to learn from someone like him as well is absolutely incredible. Like the advice he gave me when I first came in, just to help me kind of settle, was, you know, it's invaluable.
Have you heard his songs that he did when he was in his pop band?
I think he has shown me a couple.
We played them on here when he was on. I played them all. I mean, it's just so funny watching the pop videos. It's like, if that is you in a cheesy, really cheesy pop band.
I think we need to get him in a boy band, I think
this is a mixed band, I think, girls and boys. And he had the worst outfit. Well, he had the worst outfits as Darren when he first came in. But enough of him. Anyway, he's had his own episode. Listen to that. So your character, I mean, loads of heavy storylines, supplying drugs, laundered money. How much research do you do into, I mean, obviously supplying drugs, but it's quite... it's a mantle to take on, isn't it, when you're doing epic stuff, because you want to get it right.
Yeah, no, 100%.
And you know the reaction is going to be massive as well.
Yeah, you want to serve the story as best you can, and obviously doing those things, especially, you know, going back to, you know, Ethan killing Maya, and kind of trying to find, you know, researching how that affects someone. I was young and researching kind of, you know, people like accidentally, you know, killing someone, and it's difficult because obviously in soap world as well, you kind of. You play that part for about a week, and then all of a sudden,
you're over it.
Yeah, you're this happy-go-lucky guy, and you're like, "Well, I'm the next girlfriend, obviously." You know, but it's hard, and those days. And I always say this: is you have those lovely days where you come in and you do all this lovely comedy stuff, or all these just normal days. But then you come in and you do these night shoots where you have to really get yourself into a mindset and take yourself to kind of a really dark place. It's so mentally taxing that when you get home, you just kind of. You just have to kind of sit with yourself and just let it go, because, you know, otherwise you just, at the end of the day, you are going into work. pretending to be someone else. You know?
Yeah, that's the thing, though, isn't it? If you are doing those days, it's guaranteed you're probably doing another day the next day. So you have to come home and then learn everything for the next day as well.
Yeah, I think it's a real talent being able to kind of go in, deliver those lines with intention and everything behind them and being in that mindset and then being able to just let go.
Yeah.
Let go and then on to the next day. And it's, yeah, it's a real...
Have you done any theatre yet?
I haven't done any theatre, but it absolutely terrifies me, theatre.
Does it, yeah. Well, just because it's such a different thing, isn't it? That's the weird, I suppose... You know, people on here that have done loads of theatre posts, everyone says the best thing is obviously the instant feedback. And also you can change the performance based on the audience reaction, I suppose. But that's, I suppose, the nice thing is you have this script for like months. It'll be when you get to it, it'll be such a weird like you said, having 15 scenes a day that just go in the bin at the end of the day in your brain. And then, but then you have a script that you basically are performing for 6 months or whatever. Mm. It's such a different thing, isn't it? It's so mad.
You learn it inside and out, back to front. And then, you know, then that's you. You go on stage and you perform and you do it. I remember doing certain like theatre productions in college, right? So we're nowhere near the scale of actual proper theatre. And I remember going on and I always feel like I kind of black out when I do it. Do you know what I mean? Like you're just there, you do it. And then all of a sudden you're off stage and you're like, what was it? Did I do well? You know, is that okay? Whereas you've got the lovely privilege of being able to do multiple takes in TV. And, you know, especially with Hollyoaks, sometimes you'll get an amend to a script the night before, like certain line tweaks and things like that. And it changes the night before. So you have to relearn that. Get back into a completely different mindset and then go to work the next day.
How do you learn your lines? Have you got like a little tip of how you do it? Do you record it? Do you cover the lines up?
Do you know what I do? And this has always kind of been my method since the early days. I listen to a lot of music when I'm learning my lines.
At the same time.
I try to find music that kind of fits the scene because I find that helps me drop into it a lot better. And then, you know... You know, music that fits the emotion of the scene, and then I'll learn it that way. But I have this thing where I want every performance I do to be as natural as possible. So I have a habit, and some people might disagree. I know a lot of actors obviously learn kind of like the end sentence or the end word of the other character's line in the scene. But I won't do that because I like to react to it on day to get the most natural reaction I can possibly get, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, and what about... crying on, have you had to do any crying scenes? I always say again on this, Bianca, Patsy Palmer in EastEnders was just the most, I've never seen anything like it. She could be having such a laugh and then you'd be call action and like she could be the most devastating performance. Whereas I know other actors who have to go off set for, you know, 10 minutes. What are you, how's your crying?
I've had to do a lot of crying in Hollyoaks and, you know, yeah, especially when I, you know, kill my girlfriend and you have to get in that mindset.
Well, thank God you cried.
Oh, yeah. You know, you'd be heartless when you go through breakups and things like this. And sometimes I find it, you know, I'm going to be completely transparent here, like super, super easy to, you're really feeling that moment. We did a scene, me and Anna, where we broke up in the loft and the tears were just flowing. It was absolutely great. And the same with killing Maya. But then there are other times when you go, you know, I can't find that emotion. I'm going to need that lift. And luckily, in the magic of film, you've got the lovely little tear sticks that you can just apply onto your
eyes. Of course. Yeah. Which is no disrespect to using a tear stick.
Exactly. And so, you know, I've been known to use some tear sticks sometimes, but when I'm really in the moment, I'm really in a scene, they do flow and it's great.
I think we should all carry a tear stick around in real life because it can be really useful. Absolutely. Do you know what I mean? If you want to get kind of, you know, when you're complaining about something, get the tear stick out so you're not crying. We might get all a lot further in life.
You want an early day at work?
Get the tear stick out.
Go into your boss. You're crying. They're not going to question it. They might question why it stinks of menthol, but, you know, it's fine.
And what's the drip? Like, what would you love to do? Obviously, you know, we're not saying you're going to leave Hollyoaks anytime soon. But what's the dream? Do you want to do theatre? Do you want to do more TV? I mean, like you said, theatre scares me to death. Yeah. Singing scares me to death. I saw Celine Dion at Hyde Park the other year, and I was like, can you imagine coming out to Hyde Park alone?
It's incredible, and I've got so much respect for those people. But yeah, I just think, I think I'll continue in the vein of TV. You know, I love the medium of it all, and at some point, you know, I probably will do theatre. But the dream, I guess, is just continue in the TV world. You know, grow as an actor.
You've got to do a panto. At least you've got to do a panto.
I'd happily do a panto. It'd be great. I think
there's
no shame
in doing a panto.
No, I think it'd be an incredible experience. And again, like I said, maybe that's my way into theatre.
Yeah, and you get paid for it, and you get loads of money. It's great.
Exactly, it's perfect. It's the best of both worlds.
And you kind of, although you have to work over Christmas, but that's not that bad either, because Christmas can be a bit, you know, like elongated, can't it? So it's like,
yeah, sometimes.
Although my mates who've done it from soap, I mean, some days they've done 3 shows a day, which is like, that's insane. I mean, when you watch,
that workload is a lot. So this is what I mean.
It's quite a lot of workload. Right. So, and then awards. Quickly, we'll talk about awards. Obviously, you got nominated. I don't know whether you've been nominated for more now, mate. I might have got it wrong, but you were nominated for Newcomer and then Best Partnership. Any more? Nice being, I mean, awards are awards, as we know, but nice being nominated.
It's absolutely lovely. This is what I mean. And I think for me,
obviously, better to win, but still.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's great. I think I was nominated in my first year. I was really, really privileged to get a fair few nominations with, you know, Newcomer and things like that. And it's great. And to me, to just be kind of acknowledged for your work and even just get the nomination in the first place is incredible. And it's the fans that do that. You know, it's the fans that give you all the feedback. And it's such a lovely, lovely feeling. And then, you know, to get nominated for Newcomer in your first year was unbelievable. And then to follow that up with, you know, working with Anna and get Best Partnership it's just great. It's just the icing on the cake, really, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, that's like Jack and Vera territory from Corrie. That's great, the partnership one. And the fans must be great fans of Hollyoaks, because it's a young show, young audience. So you must have a lot of reaction all the time from fans on social media and stuff.
Yeah, I really do. And I'm so grateful for those fans, because they're so nice. They're so lovely and they're so positive. And I'd love to, you know, base my performances around fan feedback, because, you know, at the end of the day, this is why we do it. We do the show for them, and they're the ones who keep the show afloat and buoyed. And it's just, you know, I try and base all my performances off of feedback I get from those guys. And this is what I'm saying with, when it comes back to the Ethan and Sienna stuff, you know, they're crying out for it and they're loving it. And I just try and give them what they want. You know, it's that live feedback, and that's how I'll continue doing it.
And have you seen any change since it's just gone to E4? I mean, I think it's the way TV is in a desperate place at the moment, because, you know, there's nothing being commissioned. I think it's just because the whole landscape is changing. Everything is going digital. So Hollyoaks is kind of quite leading the way in a way, doing it first.
Exactly. And this is what I love about Hollyoaks, because they're taking that step. They're taking the risk. And, you know, so far it's paid off. I know the viewing figures are up recently, which is absolutely phenomenal. And I just think that is the way that TV is going. When you look at streaming services, you've got your Netflix, your Disney Pluses, your Amazons. That's where everyone is watching their TV. So to then take that leap and then venture into kind of unknown territory for soap is phenomenal. And you see Neighbours now going on to Amazon with, you know, Freevee and everything like that. I think that is the next step for soap.
Yeah. No, I do as well. Yeah. I directed Guy Pearce in Neighbours last year, by the way, for Amazon.
Oh, did you? Love that.
I know, that was pretty insane. Days with him. But what was I going to say? I've completely lost my train of thought now.
Guy Pearce's fault, you know.
I know, I've just got Guy Pearce in my head and lost my train of thought. Let's, end with an Instagram check. I've gone through your Instagram, so explain these pictures. So quite a few guitar pictures. You're a bit of a whiz on the guitar.
Yeah, so my parents, when we were younger, got me and my brothers kind of into guitar, and I've got a real, real obsession. I don't know, obviously, just probably my dad's American influence. I've got a serious obsession with country music, and I play a lot of country and sing a lot of country.
Oh, do you? Because there's a guy, what's his name, who left Hollyoaks, who's living out there now doing country music.
Yeah, it's, I think Anna was telling me about me. It's Callum Kerr.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, who played James Sutton's boyfriend in it, who was insane. Yeah. I think he was a bit of a baddie as well. He's got the most amazing country voice. Oh, so you've got a bit of a banging country voice, have you?
Yeah, I don't know if it's banging or anything like that, but, you know, it's something I do in my spare time. And I just, you know, it's just a hobby for me. I just enjoy
it. I love someone with a guitar. I love it. Like, if you're, you know, having a few drinks and someone gets a guitar, it's brilliant. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah, until they start playing like Wonderwall and then you know.
Yeah. That's basically my parties. Skateboard as well. Bit of a skateboarder.
Yeah. So I'm into a lot of board sports. So I do a lot of skating, a lot of snowboarding, and anything kind of board related, to be honest. But yeah,
Did you do loads of surfing in Australia then?
Right. People always say this, and I know I'm going to be judged for it, but I didn't. I didn't go to surf camp. I know it's ridiculous. And
you're really into boarding sports, and you went to Australia, you didn't surf.
I know. I keep pestering Anna and Kyle, Kyle being Anna's partner, to just, I need you to teach me how to surf, because I want to surf.
Yeah, because you surely will be good at it.
I hope so. I mean, I imagine I'm gonna
because snowboarding is really hard. I tried to snowboard, literally was disastrous.
Yeah. Oh no, I love it. I absolutely love it. Like it's one of my favorite types of holidays, just getting out there and just hitting a mountain and just cruising down. It's just the best. It's the most freeing
for me
thing.
It's like the worst, like the idea of just being in snow all the time is like, oh, I'd rather be on the beach. talking of the beach, quite a few coastal pics on your Instagram. But love, yeah. Sea lover.
I am an absolute water baby, yes. I bloody love it. And then obviously being in Australia as well and everything, having the world's best beaches at your disposal was just the most incredible experience. And I have been known to just kind of lay on the beach and do nothing.
Although when I went to Australia, I was quite disappointed by Bondi Beach in Sydney. It was much smaller than I thought it was. And not like that. I went to amazing beaches, but that one was terrible, I thought.
It's smaller and it's a lot busier than people think.
Yeah. It's very, very busy. Kind of like, this is Bondi Beach, kind of like somewhere in Tenerife. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what? I've come then, 24 hours for this.
I know. What you got to do is you got to just jump on the little walk that they have there, the Bondi Takuji walk, and then head over that way. And then you're laughing because the beach
is all beaches along that walk. We sat in that big bar above it with a swimming pool and just drunk. So that was there.
Oh, yeah.
And then a footy kit for supporting Charities FC, which I know loads of soaps want to see. That must be. Are you good, or do you just do it to kind of help out?
I like to think I'm good, but my teammates will probably tell you different. But I love my football as well, and you know, I've got to play in some incredible stadiums because of
being a celeb or an actor in these things is quite good because you get to do stuff like that, which not only is helping charity, and it's supporting Charities FC, but also you get to go to all these amazing places. Where have you played? Stadiums have you played?
You know, the biggest one I played in was St. Mary's, the Southampton Stadium. And I remember I'm a massive Beckham fan. Like, I idolised him as a kid. And I remember thinking, I've now just scored on the ground, but Beckham's also scored. And I'm like, this is the most surreal experience of my life. And I was assisted by, like, James Arthur. And I was like, this is amazing, so surreal.
That is so surreal. Life can be so surreal. Right, okay, we are ending with either or. So quick fire questions, just one or the other. Tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Speedos or shorts?
Shorts.
Sun or snow? Hard one for you.
Sun.
EastEnders or Corrie?
EastEnders, you know, being a London boy, so yeah.
And then which one next? Okay, Strictly or Dancing on Ice? Probably which one would you rather do?
Ooh, Strictly, I reckon.
Yeah, definitely. And the M one is a tough one. Sienna or Darren?
Oh, gosh.
I know. God. You know, is it... I wasn't going to say what I was going to say then.
I'm a lot more scared of Anna Patti than I am Ashley.
So you have to say Sienna.
I'm going to say Sienna, yeah.
100%. Yeah, he's not going to mind. Just flash out his pop video if he minds, do you know what I mean? And that'll shut him up. Yeah. Yeah. Well, mate, it's been amazing to have you on. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And can't wait to see what you get up to and as everyone else. Yeah. But say hi to Anna and to Ash and everyone there and speak to you soon.
Mate, thank you so much. I'll give them my love. And then, thank you so much.
So much to Matthew James Bailey, my first guest on season 6 of Soap from the Box. Enjoy Hollyoaks and all what is to come with his storyline. Remember, there are over 70 episodes to listen to right now of Soap from the Box. You'll probably need a break from me, but when you've had a coffee or when you've had a glass of wine, stick another one on and get listening to all 5 seasons that have been on so far. I'll be back same time, same place next week with another massive soap star. Have a good week.